John Mutton has been a local councillor and mayor of Clarington. He is still involved in municipal politics and affairs through his business, Municipal Solutions, and his work with the provincial government. City and town councils vary in makeup in Ontario, but basically elect councillors to represent sections of the municipality, and mayors, or something similar, are elected to represent the entire municipality. In Clarington, we have one mayor for all, and elected by all of Clarington, two councillors that represent two wards each on local and regional council, and four local councillors who represent and are only elected by each of the four wards or sections that make up Clarington. John joins me today to explain the rationale and desired outcome for the strong mayor powers granted Clarington, among many others, last week. John, thank you for being here and for sharing this information with us.
Hi, Steve, and thank you very much for having me on the show. Yes, the provincial government's announcement of the next phase of strong mayors last week was very interesting legislation. The reason that they brought it about is because of the housing crisis and the need to build for the amount of folks that are coming into Canada, into an Ontario, and with the premier having his housing target. So they, I was wondering how they were going to do the strong mayor powers at first, because I was thinking, well, maybe population, but that doesn't always tell the whole story. So they took the municipalities that actually have housing targets and housing plans that the province basically bestowed upon them. So I think Clarington has 13,000 that they have to build out by 2030, Ajax in the 18,000 range, and so on and so on. So that's the reason. And you'll see in there that Newmarket never got strong mayor powers. Why Newmarket didn't get it? Well, they don't have a housing plan. So the premier is very serious about this, the fact that you have to have a housing plan and to be working on building new, affordable, attainable housing in your municipality. Now, the strong mayor powers that will be enacted are the same as John Tory and also the mayor of Ottawa have. It gives the mayor the ability to hire or fire the chief administrative officer or city manager in some of those municipalities. It also gives the ability for the mayor to move forward with only one third of the vote under the strong mayor power. So very similar to the U.S. model of which are all strong mayors. And the reason for bringing in the strong mayor powers to accelerate housing is simply because of how backlogged and planning approvals are, not only from a point of view that we have so much housing and we got to get the supply, we have so much demand for housing, we got to get the supply online. But even a bigger problem is the fact that councils and municipal staff are not processing applications fast enough. This gives the ability to quit fooling around and the mayor to say to the director of planning, I've got my strong mayor powers. I will not approve a downgrade in density on this site if you're proposing that. So he has the ability to come in and really direct the municipality and make things move along a little bit quicker.
You've answered a lot of questions that I had about it, and that's great. I appreciate that. And so, is there a recourse when a strong mayor runs amok?
Well, I think we've got a couple of them that are going to run amok already. When I understand that Mayor Carter has said that he doesn't agree with the legislation, I understand that Mayor Foster is still going to look for consensus from his council. And all that is fine and dandy if they're not navel-gazing and twiddling their thumbs all, you know. With the way I liken it is that if Superman was given the choice between bulletproof and not being bulletproof, which do you think he should choose? So I really think that anyone that's not going to be moving along is going to have trouble meeting their housing targets. And I also know from my involvement with the governance across Ontario that they will also be subject to some of the more harsher things that would be happening from the provincial government for penalties on municipalities in terms of grants and money not going to them. And in terms of, well, even on the federal level, Pierre Poilievre is saying that if they don't meet housing targets that are dictated by the provincial government, whatever province they're in, then he'll withhold the gas tax from those municipalities. So they're going to put penalties in place for those municipalities that are not adhering to it. Really interesting is since Bill 23, the municipalities who used to have one pre-consultation meeting and then you file your application, well, Bill 23 created a set timeline once a completed application is put in. I think it was like 90 days for rezoning, 60 days for a site plan, and 120 days for an official plan amendment. So what happened there was the municipalities have put in a double pre-consultation, and some of them have even put in a one or two pre-application meetings. So you cannot submit until you go through all these meetings. So they're using a delay tactic at the front end. And I know for a fact that it's just, it's angered the provincial government.
So are these within the municipalities that already have the strong mayor powers that you're seeing this?
Pretty much every municipality in Ontario we're starting to do that. Obviously, the GTA, Kingston, Ottawa, London, Waterloo, Brantford, those types of places are going to have housing targets that are on the higher level. So some of them have been problematic. Others haven't been problematic. But by and large, we've seen it happen in Durham region for sure.
Has there been an improvement in those communities, I believe Toronto, Ottawa, London, that already have that strong mayor powers? Has there been an improvement?
Well, I think that Toronto was moving it the right way, and I was really impressed with how John Tory was doing with strong mayor powers, because he didn't have to bow down to the NDP every time he wanted to do something. And you finally seen his budget, what he wanted to do to speed up housing. And unfortunately, he resigned. So we really never got to see the full effect. But you'll see it. I look at a mayor like Ajax Mayor Sean Collier. He'll use those strong mayor powers properly, and he will actually deliver housing faster.
Is there a way that a mayor could use the strong powers in an overzealous capacity?
Absolutely, and I think we'll see that too. You're going to have rogues on both ends, and I think that depending on what kind of mayor you have, when they have the ability to bring the budget forward. So, and when the chief administrative officer reports directly to the mayor, then there's a significant amount of power there. And it would take 2/3 of the council to overturn a strong mayor power, which is, that would be very difficult.
That would require 2/3 of them agreeing, right? So there you go, which is part of the problem, right, in the first place. So
yes,
in terms of the chief administrative officer, we have a CAO in Clarington. And basically the role of that person is to make sure what council wants to have happen gets done. And so presumably if they're not getting the job done, then the mayor now has the authority to fire that person.
That's right. And I think that what you're going to see is that the powers will be aligned. I don't think you'll see councils on the different, with the strong mayor powers on a different side of what's going on with council, you'll see that the mayors are dictating, or not dictating, I don't want to say dictating, but they are setting the agenda to move forward and with their council. So you'll see the mayor and their councils on side with every issue now. You won't see a council like years ago in Ajax, former Mayor Parrish was against the Deer Creek development, but his council supported it. You won't see something like that now with the strong mayor powers.
What other changes to municipal governments do you see, perhaps in the wake of the announcement that Peel Region is going to be broken up into predictably three municipalities?
Sure. Now, one of the things I can tell you is that with the issue in Peel Region, with breaking Peel Region up into Brampton, Mississauga, and Caledon, and Milton, there's going to be governance changes here in Durham and York. The regions have been there for a long time. In most of the regions, they've served their purpose to help other municipalities arrange for growth. But I think that what you're going to see happen is that the regions are going to move to services boards, eliminate the regional councillors. There would be and each municipality would purchase a service of what they need at their own city level. So, for instance, if you wanted more of a police presence in your municipality, you'd purchase a service of more police. If you wanted less police service, I don't know who would want that, but there are some out there, then they would have less police service. And also reducing the duplication. Obviously, the planning is moving to the local level now. That's under Bill 23. But there's also economic development that's at both levels, tourism at both levels. There's going to be some very radical changes happening with the way regional government is.
So strong mayor powers apply only to provincial priority issues. So what are some examples of those provincial priority issues?
I would say that the key one here is definitely housing. It would not be in play, and they would not have used that as the guideline for strong mayor powers. They have to make the targets that they have. And it's simply because we need the supply, because the demand is there. And the only way that you can affect the price is to continue to have a supply and dictate what percentage of affordable housing could be. So I'll give you an example. With some of the greenbelt removals that have happened, then there's some of them that are 10% affordable housing, some that are in the 25% range of affordable housing. So this is the push. And I really do think that these municipalities are going to be forced to operate a little bit more like a private sector business than a level of government.
And that increased level of productivity would be heralded by many. So there you go. And you and I have talked about that in the past as well, right? So about getting things done. So that's great. I appreciate all that information, and I appreciate the insight that you have on strong mayor powers, mm-hmm. because we hear this in the news, and we get very little background in the normal 30-minute or 60-minute newscast that we are subjected to. So I certainly appreciate you filling that out for us. So one of the things I'm trying to do with my guests is just to get to know them a little bit differently. Best part of being mostly post-pandemic.
The best part of post-pandemic is not wearing a mask and being able to go to outdoor functions, indoor functions, and not to have to worry about it.
I agree completely. I'll wear a mask because I have to, but I sure hate doing that. Favorite non-meal mm-hmm. place to visit?
Favorite non-meal place to visit is likely the for me, the Rogers Center, because I'm a big baseball guy. So I go up to a number of games, and I go to the I was at the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony last week. So I'm a big baseball guy, so I like to be around.
That puts you at a level of baseball nerd that's higher than most. That's awesome. And the favorite coffee place in Clarington. I don't know if you even drink coffee, but.
Well, I've the Toasted Walnut downtown Bowmanville has been very good, as well as I actually like the new Starbucks in Curtis. And but I would say that right now, the Toasted Walnut's probably the best coffee shop that I've seen in the region, and as a matter of fact.
That's good to know. I've been there once. I need to go there again on the recommendation of John Mutton. So there we go.
There you go. Oh, no, that's great. Yeah.
John, thank you for joining me on this episode of Exit 425 to help us understand strong mares. And to all who are listening, thank you for listening to this episode of Exit 425. Please like and subscribe on whatever platform you use. Our mission is to provide substantial information and education that goes where you want. Exit 425 is a production of Studio 38 Audio, copyright 2023. My name is Steve Ray. If you have any questions or would like more information about Exit 425, join our Exit 425 Facebook group, check out Facebook and Instagram, or email me at exit425401@gmail.com.